We're now beginning the 27th chapter of Ezekiel. In this chapter, we're still attending the funeral of the city of Tyre. In the first part of this chapter, he describes the beauty and the glory and the great position that this city had, or this nation had, with the rest of the world. So begin with verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus. Now to take up a lamentation means that Ezekiel was to have an expression of sorrow. He is to give a dirge for this great city of Tyre. And it's as though he were at a funeral and delivering an elegy about this fallen city. And as is the case with most funeral sermons, as much praise as can be given is given to the one and about the one for whom the sorrow is expressed. So and as Ezekiel saw through the eyes of prophecy the things that were going to happen to Tyre, as he was able to visualize in his mind the terrible destruction of this city, certainly it was an occasion for lamentation, for sorrow. And it's a lesson to us today that when we see someone else who is having problems, someone else who is in a time of difficulty, that's not the time for us to rejoice. That's not the time for us to have a gleeful attitude. That's the time for us to also be solemn and to express sorrow for what's happening. Even though it's brought about by God, even though it's something they have justly deserved, it is a time for sorrow, a time for lamentation. And so it was with the city of Tyre. Now, beginning in the third verse, he begins to name all of the good things, the glorious things, the great things about this city. So in verse 3, And say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. So he begins with the place that this city occupied. Thou art situate at the entry of the sea. The physical location of Tyre was very advantageous. It was located there on the Mediterranean Ocean. It was very convenient for the other merchant ships, for the other nations to approach it, to come to the harbor, to dock the ships. Part of this city, as we stated before, was actually an island that was surrounded by the sea, and so it had a very favorable site so far as location goes. And that has a lot to do many times with the prosperity of a place, where the location is. And Tyrus had a very favorable location so far as trade and the art of exchanging merchandise was concerned. During this time, to be able to have access to the sea was to be able to have access to the rest of the world. So, thou art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles. Now, they did act as merchants for the people of many isles. They were, for their size, the most prominent, the most renowned, and the most influential nation in the whole world. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Now, Tyre realized that she was a very fortunate nation. And so she said about herself, I am of perfect beauty. And this word perfect here means universal. That is, I am so well built. I am so well situated. I conduct my affairs in such a way that I am of universal beauty. And that's what this word perfect here means. It means universal. I am of universal beauty. That is, I appeal to everybody. I have something for all. And consequently, everybody looks upon me with great favor. So I am of perfect, or I am of universal beauty. And any nation that can have all the other nations to look upon it this way is certainly going to be favored. Going to be favored with commerce. Going to be favored in a financial way. And Tyre had a certain amount of power because of this. And beginning with verse 4, now he describes some things about Tyre, and he describes it as though he is describing a ship, and a ship that has been built by Tyre. And so this probably has a double meaning. It probably is talking about the great ships that Tyre has built and set out on the ocean, but it also has a meaning then describing the actual nation itself. So in verse 4 he says, "Thy borders are in the midst of the seas." And this, of course, would indicate the fact that it was an island nation, or part of it was an island, and so it had very perfect access to the sea. You can approach it from any direction. And another thing that we have to say then about an island is that an island is one in which the borders, the boundaries, cannot be moved and changed by the whims of men. These boundaries are set by God. They are truly natural boundaries. And that's the case of this island of Tyre also. "Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty." And he's describing those that have built this nation, built the city. They are well experienced craftsmen. They do an excellent job. And the type of building that they have perfected here is one that appeals to all. "Thy builders have perfected thy beauty." Verse 5, "They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Senir." Now, as we said before, he's describing a ship, the building of a ship. But it probably also applies figuratively to the general construction of the city of Tyre. "So they have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Senir." Senir is a mountain of Israel located close to Mount Hermon. And the fir trees produced a lumber that was of a smooth texture. It didn't last as long as the oaks that the English made their ships of, but it was a very favorable wood. "They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee." Now, of course, Lebanon is another mount that's located near Israel. And so we see then that Israel is supplying some of the materials for this country so that one nation cannot say, "I am completely independent of all other nations. I have no need of anybody else." For here we see other nations supplying the things for the building of this magnificent ship of Tyre. And he's probably describing the shipbuilding in general of Tyre. They had wonderful carpenters and master craftsmen to make these ships. These ships were the thing that made them the power of the world. And they also had wonderful builders to actually build the city itself. So they had fir trees from Senir for the shipboards, and they had cedars from Lebanon to make the masts. Verse 6, "Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars." And as we know, Bashan is another area of Israel, located over in the half-tribe of Manasseh. And the fact that they had oars indicates that their ships were probably mostly galleys that go with oars. And so they had the ability to not only use the wind, but also use the manpower that goes with the oars. "The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory brought out of the Isles of Shittim." Now, the Isles of Shittim are thought to be Italy or Greece. So it seems that the benches that occupied the staterooms of the ship were so elegantly made that they were made out of ivory, ivory brought from the far-off places of Italy or Greece. Verse 7, "Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail." Now the word sail here can also be banner, but the sails were so elegantly made of such expensive material that they were made out of fine linen and they were embroidered, and the designs were placed upon them. And one translation seems to indicate that the sail was used as a banner. So, the word here can mean either sail or banner. So it meant the flags that they had on the ships, or it meant the actual sail itself being so elegantly made that it was used as a banner, and they embroidered this sail. Then he says, "Blue and purple from the Isles of Elisha was that which covered thee." So they used material that was the blue and purple, which is expensive, elegant material, for the coverings of the walls inside the vessel, or for the awnings that went up on the vessel. And this material came from the Isles of Elisha. And all we know about these people is that they were the descendants of Jephthah. And we do not know exactly where this was located. Verse 8, the inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Now, of course, Zidon is the city of Sidon, which is located about 20 miles away. And Arvad is a place in Phoenicia. So they drew upon the surrounding nations for their seamen. They were thy mariners. One translation renders this that they were thy oarsmen. And so it was a mark of distinction to be able to go to Tyre and to serve an apprenticeship, to learn the trade of being a seaman, to learn the art of working on a ship. And then he says, thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee were thy pilots. That is, they were the steersmen. They were the ones who captained and who ran the ship. Tyre produced these men itself. They were the wise men who came out of Tyre. And so we see that it was quite an art and a thing that was taught and passed down to the young men of the city itself as to how to maintain and operate and command a ship, how to go off to these far distant places and take the merchandise and do the trading and be able to occupy a very favored position then in the eye of the rest of the world. Verse 9, the ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in thee thy caulkers. Now Gebal is a place that's described as either being in Phoenicia or Syria. And so they had a group of people that came from that area that were specialists in being able to caulk these ships. Now, the caulkers were the ones, not who built the ship, but the ones who repaired the leaks in the ship. So as the ships came back and were in need of repair, and it required a very specialized skill to be able to properly caulk them so that they were again made seaworthy. And there is thought by some more skill required to be able to repair the ship than there was to build the ship in the first place. So this was a very specialized occupation here, and they drew upon the skills of a group of people that are called the Ancients of Gebal. They apparently had learned this trade a long time before, and it was passed down to the descendants of these people, and they were then in thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea, with their mariners, were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. Now this phrase seemed to be a little bit obscure, but it seemed to say that every ship on the sea that had any kind of prominence at all, that had any real true trading ability, then had something to do with Tyre. Sooner or later, it was going to come to Tyre, and it was going to come there to occupy thy merchandise. Consequently then, Tyre touched the lives of all seamen, all the ships of the sea with their mariners. All the mariners knew about Tyre. It was a port that they'd all been to. It was a port that was famous and renowned, and so they could all tell you about this place. And it's hard for us to imagine in the time of the world that this is speaking of what a tremendous advantage it would be to be able to have the kind of advertising that Tyre could have. Everybody in the world had some way of being connected then with Tyre. They received merchandise from there. The seamen knew about it. They could spread the story about it. And so it wasn't hard to be able to contact somebody who would have a first-hand experience of having been to Tyre, and they could tell you about Tyre. Verse 10, they of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army, thy men of war. Now, not only has he described their ships and how powerful and elegant and valuable they were. Now he starts to describe the army of the city. And he says that they of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in that army. This place called Lud is thought to be Lydia, which is located over in, on the eastern part of Asia Minor. And Phut is a place from Africa. So there were specialized people from certain parts of the world that were in this army of Tyre. And he says, thy men of war. They had an army that was powerful, an army that could defend them, an army that could make it a formidable task for somebody to attack them, as it was for Nebuchadnezzar. As we know, that first assault of Nebuchadnezzar lasted some 13 years. And that was really just the first of a series of nations that came up against Tyre. And he describes them this way. They hanged the shield and the helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. Now, he doesn't describe them as having weapons of offense, although no doubt they did, as all armies do. But he describes them in that which is the most glorious for an army. That is, they were, had defensive weapons, the helmet and the shield. And they hanged these up so that a visitor to Tyre could see that the army was well equipped. They could see the armamentarium there on display if they went to the right place and know that this city was well defended. And so they set forth thy comeliness. That is, this showed the true glory of the city. This city was not just a facade. It was not just some kind of a fake that pretended to be a strong city. They actually could back up their strength with military power. And of course, we see great nations today parading their great military strength when they meet together to talk about terms of various treaties. They have more clout if they have more military strength. And so the various strengths of the nations is broadcast and used by the leaders as a means then of having more power. Well, the city of Tyre seemed to be not any different from that. They hanged up the shield and the helmet, and then this set forth the true glory of the city. It made it obvious what the nature of this city was. Verse 11, the men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about. So the soldiers were divided into specialized groups. They had one group that were known as the men of Arvad, and of course we know this is an area there in Phoenicia. They were the ones that manned the walls round about. They seemed to be specialized or having some kind of special training in guarding the walls of the city. And as we noted, the main thrust of this army was not offense, but defense. This city was prepared to be defended. And then he says, and the Gammadims were in thy towers. Now, it's difficult to know exactly what's meant by this word Gammadims. Many seem to think that this is just simply a proper name referring to a group of specialized soldiers, that like we might call a group of soldiers today, the Rangers. They call these the Gammadims. However, the word does have a specific meaning. It can be translated two ways. One way, it can mean pygmies that are no longer than a man's arm. But another way, it can be translated to mean men that are robust with strength in their arms. And that very well could be the meaning here. But it seems to be a word that was applied to a group in the army, and he says that they were in thy towers. They were specialists for manning the towers of the walls. So this army was well organized. It was broken down into specific divisions, specific names applying to the specialized skills of each groups of the army. Some that manned the walls and some that manned the towers. And he says, they hang their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. again describing the fact that they're using defensive weapons, and these weapons are hanged on the walls so that they can be on display, and they have made thy beauty perfect. That is, they have perfected the fact that this city is a self-sustaining city. It is rounded out in all of the elements that are necessary. They have builders that are very masterful at their crafts. They're able to build these ships in a very elegant and efficient manner. The ships are very useful. They are known all over the world. They draw from men all over the world to man the ships. And here again, certain ones man the oars, certain ones were the steersmen or the pilots of the ships. It seemed to be a privilege and an honor to be able to serve in the fleet of Tyre, because this was where you could really learn the mariner's trade. They had nations from far off that supplied their materials, that supplied men for caulking these vessels. And then the army itself then was the crowning thing to those who would visit Tyre to see and to know that this truly was a nation that had power, that had clout among other nations, and it was well defended. So we see here that Ezekiel is in the midst of showing the glory and the renown of the city of Tyre, and he does this before he begins to predict its fall and its ruin. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.